That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Can you imagine a life where you get to do exactly what you want to do every moment of every day? Y'all know the if I won the lottery game, right? We've all played it. If I won the lottery, I'd lay on the beach all day or buy a big, huge house or hire a person to rub my feet for an hour every day. My husband and I have that conversation every so often just for fun. It's a pipe dream, right? Well, I'm here to let you in on a little secret. It's not a pipe dream. It actually is possible to live a life where you get to do exactly what you want to do. And it doesn't involve the lottery or your rich Uncle Jack passing away. This is one of the realities of a Christian's union with Christ. Union with Christ means that everything a believer has comes from being joined to Jesus by faith. In Him, we are made new, because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Because we are united to Jesus, His death counts for our forgiveness, and His resurrection secures our living hope. So the Christian life is not trying to earn what Christ has already given to us, but it's learning to live out of our union with Him. Union with Christ is the believer's primary identity. And this identity transforms every Christian from the root, from the core of who they are, not just at the surface level. And that's the mandate to change I was just talking about. If all that's true, what's that got to do with the huge payday I mentioned a minute ago, with the whole I get to do what I want to do thing? Well, we know that part of our union with Christ is death to self, so we can live for Him. And part of our union with Christ means we should bear the family resemblance. Yep, we're adopted kids, and we've got an all-access pass to the inheritance, but we better look like our Father. Things have got to change, and the first thing to change is our thinking. Let me ask you a pretty basic question. When you make a choice, when you get offered two options to choose between, what do you do right before you decide? When a friend offers to take you to the beach for a week and not 2 minutes later, you're offered a job promotion, which P.S. means no beach trips for at least a month, what do you do? Dun, dun, dun. You have to think about it, right? You think about it. You weigh the options against what is important to you, what you desire, what you love, and you make a choice. Beach or job? It comes down to your thinking grid or your thought framework. If you want to get to do what you want to do, guess what? You got to start thinking biblically, thinking with the mind of Christ. When that starts happening, you're going to be on the same page with God, generally speaking, and that means you're going to want to do what God wants you to do. And not just arms crossed, okay, fine, God, I guess. But joyfully, willingly, voluntarily, you will want what God wants. When Scripture calls believers to a change in thinking, it's never merely asking for better self-management or a more positive outlook. It's calling us to live out what is already true of us in Christ. The New Testament connects the renewal of the mind to our union with Jesus so that changed thinking flows from a changed identity. As one summary of union with Christ puts it, Christ is indispensable for every saving good we enjoy. Paul says in Romans 12:1-2 that in light of God's mercies, believers are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of their minds. That command does not stand alone. It follows 11 chapters of gospel truth. In other words, Paul roots mental renewal, which is, by the way, exactly what we need, not mental health, but mind renewal. That's a better way to put it, in the mercies of God already given to those who are in Christ. 11 chapters of gospel truth. And then wham, bam, Romans 12, 1 through 2, we're not supposed to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. The Christian does not renew the mind to earn union with Christ. Because we've been united to Christ, our minds are being brought into increasing agreement with his truth. This is especially clear in Colossians 3. Paul says believers have died with Christ and been raised with him, and then he gives the command, set your mind on things that are above. The indicative comes first. You've died. You've been raised. Your life is hidden with Christ. Then comes the imperative. Think accordingly. Union with Christ creates both the identity and the obligation. The believer's new life in Christ makes a new pattern of thought, not only possible, but prescribed, commanded. This is what we're called to. The same pattern appears in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Paul tells Christians to put off the old self, be renewed in the spirit of their minds, and put on the new self. Check this out. Verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. And then we want to leapfrog right over verse 23 to verse 24, which says, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. But y'all, the meat of that sandwich is the point. That would be verse 23. Don't skip verse 23. Don't just fill out the good old put off, put on chart. Column one, stop doing this. And column two, start doing this. There's a third column. Yes, put off. Absolutely. The old self, gotta go. And yes, put on the new self. That is who you are anyway. Be who you are. But y'all, verse 23, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You want to do what you want to do all day, every day? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is not an HGTV reno project detached from Christ. We're not just pulling up linoleum flooring and replacing it with luxury vinyl. This is the practical expression of belonging to him, of being in him. The old way of thinking belongs to the former life. The renewed mind belongs to the new creation you are in Christ. So when scripture commands a change in thinking, it's not asking us to become something we're not. It's calling us to think in a way that matches who we already are in our union with Christ. And this helps guard us from two errors. First, it keeps us from moralism, where change is reduced to willpower and discipline. One of my pastors calls this sola bootstrapis. We aren't talking some kind of sixth sola that says we got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and shape up. Free PSA here. That never works, by the way. Second error this helps guard us from is having a biblical understanding of mind renewal as part of our union with Christ keeps us from being passive, where we assume that because we're united with Christ, no conscious renewal is necessary. We don't have to participate in anything. Scripture avoids both extremes. We are truly united to Christ, and therefore we are truly responsible to participate in renewing our minds by God's word, in dependence on the Spirit. The Christian life is not a call to try harder or be better. It's a call to live from the grace that you have because you are in Christ. So that means that we've got to fight for right thinking. And this is, practically speaking, it's a gospel fight. We just have to replace lies with truth. We have to learn to evaluate our desires, our fears, our ambitions, and even our self-talk in light of Christ's lordship. We let the word of Christ dwell in us richly because a mind shaped by Christ's word is a mind that increasingly reflects Christ himself. A renewed mind is not merely more information. I heard John Piper say that once in a sermon. He was talking about what our minds need, and it's not just more information. We need our minds reoriented, reprogrammed. And that only happens by consuming God's word. Scripture is our one source of truth, my friends. And when you're reinforcing and retraining your thinking with scripture, you're going to start loving what Christ loves and hating what Christ hates. And you're going to start interpreting life through your union to him. So the command to change our thinking is not detached from the gospel. It's actually an outflow of a gospel change in us because we're united to Christ. We're no longer slaves to the old patterns of thinking. Because we're in Christ, we can learn to think like those who belong to him. And because Christ is our life, the renewal of our minds is part of becoming what we already are in him. As believers, we have access to the mind of Christ, but we got to learn and practice some more to undo our old ways of thinking. Union with Christ means our minds have to be trained to reject lies and replace those lies with truth from God's word. And you have to know the word to replace the false thoughts. We're called to guard our minds, which means our hearts in Christ Jesus. We're responsible for what goes in our eyes and our ears and our mouth and what comes out of them too. When we think rightly, when we think biblically, the outcome is a change in action and a change in how we feel. You will want to do what honors and glorifies God because you are thinking about what honors and glorifies God. And you know what his word says and what will honor and glorify him. See how that works? When we come back from the break, I want to share with you an illustration that the Bible gives us that's going to put some meat on the bones of this idea of the necessity of change at the thought level as the start of all the rest of the change that happens because of our union with Christ. Be right back. Don't go away.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment, who's teaching that a renewed mind is the start of real change. And if we can, let's talk about what you feed your mind for a moment, since that's the whole point of what Libby's driving at. You've got something in your pocket right now that trains you to think in a direction you never chose. That's your phone. It is full of things that actually poison your mind. Every time you pick it up and watch a video or read a headline, it's shaping how you see the world. You can redeem that. You can download Fortis Plus to your phone right now for free and know that you have something on your phone that is going to point you in the other direction. You'll find everything Libby's ever created on Fortis Plus, as well as our other fellows, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Jason Lyle, Todd Friel. All of the teaching that they produce is found right there. And the best part about Fortis Plus, it is absolutely free. It costs you nothing. And it pours into your mind the kind of truth that Libby's talking about instead of the noise that the world is trying to infiltrate your mind with. Download it right now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can just go to FortisPlus.org. And the way that Fortis Plus stays free is because of one decision made by a whole lot of people. We call them gospel partners, and the decision they made was to support our ministry because they believe in it so much so that they want to make sure that more people all over the world have access to the content that we're creating. Gospel partners cover the cost of what we're doing so you never have to. So if you've ever heard anything here at Fortis Institute that has helped you and you want to make sure more people have access to this content, would you also consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? You can get all of the information right now at FortisInstitute.org, but only if you're giving to your local church and only if it is not a burden for you. If one of those two things is true of you, you're not giving to your local church or giving to our ministry would be a burden for you, don't give to our ministry. We want to make sure that you're giving to your local church, and we only want you joining us as a gospel partner if you can. All the details, again, found at FortisInstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Libby Glossett. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now, let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossett.
All right. In 1 Peter 1, verse 13, Peter connects the idea of thinking and the reality of doing in one simple but profound sentence. He says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Prepare your minds for action. Or some translations say, gird up the loins of your mind. This is not a suggestion Peter is making. It's a command. And it clearly links what is going on at the thought level to what ends up happening at the action or behavior level. I like the gird up the loins of your mind illustration. That is what I was talking about before the break that puts some meat on the bones of this illustration, because it gives that picture of a man or a woman in the ancient world. Everyone wore long robes then. And if they knew it was going to be necessary to run or fight or take some kind of action, they would prepare by taking the robes and tying them up. What was once a robe was now culottes, or for those of you born after 1985, shorts. Skirt to shorts. So Peter's image we get here is not a soft image. In his world, those loose garments, they weren't just inconvenient. That was going to be dangerous. If you didn't gather up your robes, you were going to trip. You're going to stumble. You're going to be unable to move when it mattered most. So when he turns that image towards the mind, the implication is so clear. If your thinking is loose and flapping around, you're vulnerable. You're not going to be able to take the action you should. Peter's command cuts through the passivity. He says, take hold of your thinking. You got to do something about it. Stop letting it drift. Stop assuming it's neutral. It isn't. Undisciplined thoughts, they're not harmless. They sometimes harden into convictions that go against the character of God or the truth of God's word. So to gird up your mind is very, very important. You can't negotiate with lies. You have to replace them. You have to ask yourself, why do I believe this? Does this actually reflect who God has revealed himself to be? Or am I believing something that's not in God's word? In the same way that a man in the ancient world would never run into a battle with his robe dragging around his legs, Peter is saying it is just as reckless to step into the realities of the Christian life with a mind that hasn't been prepared. Now, you should be asking, how do I prepare my mind? What should I be thinking about? And how do I stop the thought flapping that is constantly tripping me up? Well, we've already said that the world would tell us that we need to think better about ourselves. We need to tell ourselves good things about ourselves. When anxiety threatens to overtake you and your thoughts are going a million miles a minute, repeat affirmations to yourself, right? Wrong-o. Praise God for his word and the light and the lamp it is to our feet. We can shine the light of scripture on the world's answer and see right away that God actually calls us to set our minds on him, on his glory. That's what transforms us, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Through Paul, God also instructs us to set our minds on eternal things, not earthly things. Colossians 3:1. Christians are called to set our minds on things above because our life is hidden with Christ, aka union with Christ. And then in his letter to the Philippians, Paul gives a running list of what we're supposed to think on, what we're supposed to set our minds on. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, pure, lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Philippians 4:8. So where do we find true, honorable, right things to think on? How do we know if something is worthy of praise? Ding, 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 Sunday school answer. The Bible tells us so, right, ladies? We must go to the Word of God to learn about the God of the Word, how he reveals himself to us in the pages of Scripture. And this matters, ladies, because what fills our minds shapes the direction of our lives. If we keep feeding on some vain attempt at self-love or self-worth or even fear or comparison or bitterness or self-reliance, we should not be surprised when we get spiritually exhausted. But if we keep coming back to the truth of who Christ is and who we are in him, then the Spirit begins to train our minds to think differently. We start to measure life by a different kingdom, a different hope, and a different king, who is, by the way, not you. And this is the better way. The command to think differently is really an invitation to live like what is already true about you. In Christ, you are not who you used to be. And because of that, you do not have to think like you used to think. Practically speaking, there are so many creative ways to think on truth, to set your mind on the things above, to dwell on the character of God. I just want to give you a few examples here, but this is not a checklist and it's not exhaustive. Think of it like a starting point if you've never considered mind renewal or a change in how you think as part of the outflow of your union with Christ. How about when you get up each morning, before you check emails and texts and your newsfeed, intentionally set your mind on Christ first? Read a short text like any of the sections of the gospel accounts about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or Colossians 1, 15 through 20, or Philippians 2, 5 through 11, or Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. All those sections are very Christ-focused. And then ask yourself two questions. What does this show me about who Christ is? And how does that reframe what I'm anxious about or excited about or dreading today? You can even take it a step further and turn that attribute of Christ into a truth for the day. Yes, I am facing some difficult things today, but Jesus is sustaining all things. Or, yep, I gotta have that conversation I really don't want to have with that person I am totally convinced doesn't like me. Reminder, my life is hidden with Christ in God. What can man do to me? How about this one, my OCD friends? You know that mental reel that's on repeat, the one that plays and replays all the what ifs and the what did they think and the did I do enough? When you notice your mind spiraling inward, intentionally redirect it upward with the truth. Memorize passages that tell you the truth about who God is. Turn those scrambling thoughts into prayers of adoration. Lord, I don't need to know. In fact, I cannot know. You are omniscient. Nothing surprises you. God, I may have totally botched that conversation. She might think I'm a complete dunce. Maybe I ruined the friendship. But you are faithful. You do not abandon your people. There's nowhere I can go and nothing I can do that would keep me from your presence. See how the truth of God's word informs our thinking, which informs in turn what we do, what we say, the attitude we carry with us, and even our emotions. Here's one more. Set aside a whole week for a little experiment. For 1 week, for every hour you spend on social media or streaming a show or watching something on YouTube, spend 2 hours studying the attributes of God, one by one, or praying, or worshiping God, or memorizing scripture, or any combination of these things. Keep a journal of what changes in your thinking and in your life in general. So back to that question, can you imagine a life where you get to do exactly what you want to do every moment of every day? You might have noticed I haven't talked a lot about doing much, have I? Well, that was intentional. The Christian life is not about behavior modification. It is about a whole new way of thinking. Because when you're united to Jesus, everything changes from the inside out. And when we start thinking rightly, we start renewing our minds with the truth of God's word, guess what happens? We start changing what we do. In other words, God does not merely want us to stop certain behaviors. He wants us to reshape the way we interpret reality, because freedom begins when truth replaces the lies that have been directing us. When we stop thinking about ourselves 24/7 and we start thinking about God, setting our minds on things above, dwelling on things that are right and pure and worthy of praise, our actions, our decisions, the words we say, the things we do, all of that is going to flow right out of right thinking instead of self-focus. So the necessity of changed thinking is not a side issue. It's essential. It's the path of walking in a manner worthy of the gospel. A mind renewed by truth becomes a heart made willing to be obedient. And that's where freedom is found, not in self-esteem, but in surrendering ourselves to Christ, not in independence, but in joyful submission to the one who we are already in union with. If we have not changed our thinking, we're going to keep trying to obey God with the same assumptions and the same self-focused habits that keep us stuck. But when our minds are being renewed, we begin to see that biblical freedom is the freedom to do what God wants. It's the freedom to say yes to Him without the constant inner resistance that comes from believing false things about who He is, while at the same time trying desperately to think good things about ourselves. Our union with Christ results in a mind that's being constantly renewed by the Word of God, which leads directly to a change of action and a change of behavior. And now that you know a little bit more about the link between thinking biblically and a change in action, now that you know what it really looks like to abide in Christ and how your union with Christ should impact you at the thought level and the action level, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.